Hey everybody, it's day three, still in Sacramento, and we have just recorded the first episode of the tour. It was a heck of an episode. You're going to hear it this Sunday, but we had a lot of really good audience participation, two really good interviews. I also gave my sort of history of Ask an Atheist and why atheist media, or mass media, matters. It's sort of a piecemeal talk. No, I wouldn't call it a piecemeal talk, but it's sort of a pitch that we've been giving to people about the atheism movement since we started the show, just sort of transformed it to talk form, and I think it went over well. I can go over the field recorder later to see how it sounded when I wasn't saying it. And I did it without notes, which was a little scary. Like I said, Becky is now with me, which is nice. After I've been traveling alone for a long time, or even if I'm just at home alone for a long time, I have this moment where I'm like, you know, somebody starts talking to me and I go, why are you making mouth noises? Stop with the mouth noises. I forget how antisocial I can be when I'm left to my own devices. So there was a little bit of a reacclimation, but now I'm actually, it's a lot nicer to be traveling with someone than to travel by yourself. Once again, we have an official announcement. We have one more show to announce. Oklahoma Atheists will be having a show with us on July 23rd. It will be at the UCO Education Building, room 115, 100 North University Drive in Edmond, Oklahoma, again at 7 p.m. And that is the last show of the tour that we're booking. And that means eight shows, and fairly well scheduled. I'm really happy that they booked it on the 23rd. We originally were going to had it booked on the 24th, and we talked to them, and we said it was okay. And then I actually glanced at a map and realized that I was going to have to drive from Oklahoma City to St. Louis in practically zero time. And Becky emailed them back and said, hey, we're kind of dumb. Can you help us? And they did, and we're really grateful. I do have one comment from yesterday's post. Actually, it's from 2 days ago. Kurt writes to me about the infield fly rule. And he writes, I've enjoyed baseball for a long time, but I've never been an expert. I knew about the IFR, but I didn't appreciate it until a couple years ago when the situation happened in my teenage son's baseball game, and now I see that it's really necessary. My son was on second base, another runner was on first base, and there was one out. The batter popped up a high fly ball right at the shortstop. What was my son, on second base, supposed to do? Normally the ump should loudly call the IFR when the ball is in the air, but this ump, being not a professional, missed the call. My son stayed on second base. The kid on first stayed on first with the expectation that the ball would be caught. But for some reason the shortstop blew it, I don't think it was intentional, and dropped the ball. My son then had to run towards third, but the shortstop simply had to pick up the ball and tag him out, which was easy because he was right there in the path, and then take three steps and touch second base to get the next runner out. It was the easiest double play in the history of ever. So that's the deal. A pop fly ball with runners on first and second, and less than two outs already, could be intentionally dropped, and then it doesn't even take any skill to pull off a double play. That's a terrible situation where it's to the great advantage of the defense to intentionally drop the ball, so the IFR comes to solve the problem. However, the IFR does have to be called while the ball is in the air so that the runners know to stay on their bases. Yeah, I agree. But I think what I'm going to say there is part of the problem here is that the expectation of the players was that the infield fly rule was going to be called, so they stayed on base. And if there wasn't the expectation of the IFR, they would by the time the shortstop dropped the ball, he'd already be, you know, halfway, two-thirds of the way to, depending on how high the pop was, you'd be already on the way to third, and that could be dramatic. I do like talking about about baseball. I'm not really an expert myself. I love the sport more than I love the league. I can't tell you about individual players and their stats and who's good and who's not. And to be honest with you, I follow minor league games way more than I follow major league games. I'm a Cubs fan, so I just sort of expect my teams to lose, and moving to Seattle, that really hasn't changed very much. But I also have a Pacific Coast League team blocks from my house, actually literally just down the street. I knew the Pacific Coast League had a reputation for really, really cool games. So I, you know, now that I live in Tacoma, I've really been taking advantage of that. And this story with the IFR reminds me of something I always want to see. I've always wanted to see in a baseball game. It's the rarest thing ever. In fact, that there's a list of every time it's happened on Wikipedia, and it's not a particularly long list. And that's the unassisted triple play. And I can't even tell you how it works, but it's fairly amazing. Every time I want to explain it to somebody, I have to go to the Wikipedia page. Okay, I've now been talking about baseball for 4 minutes. So the first show went really well. Really great audience participation. Then I went to the post-show, and really fun crowd here. And I told my somewhat dirty Star Trek story. Well, thing that happened to me when I went to Star Trek in Las Vegas. And I don't know, that kind of felt out of place. But I was in a comfortable mood, and when I'm in a comfortable mood, I tell that story. So once again, I didn't mention this last night, but we're staying with Judy and Kathy here in Sacramento, and they are really amazing people, and they're a lot of fun, and they've had really good advice for us. You're going to hear Judy on the show this weekend, and it's even the interview, there's an incredibly moving part of it that I'm looking forward to putting on the air. Also finally got to meet Alfredo, who's been a friend of ours for a long time. We're friends on Facebook. He's been a fan of the show for a while. Bit of a long drive tomorrow. So according to Google Maps, it's 416 miles, take about 6 hours. So we're going to get up pretty early, try to make it down there. Got another show in Orange, California tomorrow. Got a lot of good material for that show. And so I'm going to go update the website with the new tour dates, and we'll leave it at that. So I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.